On Community Connections, it's time for this week's star interview.
If you were with the programme last year, you will probably remember that one of our authors of the month was Marcus Harris. Marcus, at that time, had just published his first novel. It was called Running Away. It was extremely good, and a lot of the information that he brought to that book was taken from his own personal life. Well, I'm very pleased to say that Marcus is nearly ready to publish his second book. It's going to be called Dead Funny, but the reason I've invited Marcus on as our star guest this week is not just because of his writing, but because those of us of a certain age will remember this. Wherever there's adventure to be found, just a clue or a secret message, bring the famous five around. Whenever there's a mystery to be solved, yes, for those of us around in the late 1970s, that was the theme from Southern Television's Famous Five. And the actor who played Julian back in those days was Marcus Harris. Yes, our author. Marcus, welcome back to the programme, this time as our star guest.
Well, thank you very much. I feel greatly honoured to be your star guest today, Andrew. Thank you for inviting me again.
Well, it says on your profile, actor and presenter, and you did get into acting. Was Julian your very first role?
It was my first professional role. So I'd done a lot of amateur things, and I'd done a lot of drama festivals and with reasonable success. And then my drama school, Saturday Morning Drama School, introduced me to the Wendy Wisby Agency. And Ms. Wisby, or Mrs. Wisby, or whatever her pronoun was, she sent me up for lots of auditions. So I was regularly getting my dad to take me up to London, and we'd go to advert auditions and bit part auditions, and I was getting nothing, and nothing was happening. And I was thinking, oh, perhaps this is harder than I thought it was going to be. And then Wendy called, or Mrs. Wisby called, and she said, they're making the Famous Five. Would you be interested? And I said, yes, absolutely, as it was my favourite books. I'd read them all, and I'd love the character of Julian. So I said, yes, please. And it was, I learned later there were 5,000 kids that were invited at that stage, the preliminary auditions. And I just went to audition after audition, and every time I went, the numbers whittled down. Until finally, after we'd got to a very, very small number where I first met Gary, Michelle and, oh no, Gary and Jennifer, and Michelle came later. I was coming home from school one day and I could see my agent walking up the path, and she never came to visit me. So I sort of thought, this is interesting. And she sat me down and said, this is going to change your life, but they want to offer you the part of Julian. And it was like, unbelievable. That was who I wanted to be. That was the character that I empathized with mostly. And if I could have picked anything from adverts, documentaries, TV series, whatever, the Famous Five was the thing that I would have chosen to do. So I figure I got a lot of my wishes granted on that one day.
You mentioned your co-star said Jennifer Fanish, of course, played Anne, Gary Russell played Dick, and Michelle Gallagher was in the role of George, not forgetting Toddy, of course, who played Timmy. When you first met Marcus, did you all hit it off straight away? Because you lived in each other's pockets after that for a couple of years, really, didn't you?
The answer to that is yes. They put us together first year we lived in the Park Hill Hotel, which has now become a luxury spa in Hampshire under a different name. And the second year they rented us a house in Exbury, a fabulous, huge, great farmhouse. And almost from day one, we were eating together. We were playing together. We were spending all of our time together. And they rapidly did become like brothers and sisters. And so we'd have our fights occasionally. I remember on one occasion, I think I must have upset Michelle by doing something, and she picked up a whole bowl of spaghetti bolognese and poured it all over my head. Suffice to say, we both got into a lot of trouble for that. But when Gary and Jennifer stopped laughing, we all then had to clear up the mess, and I had to find Michelle and find out exactly what I'd done to upset her. So we had all those fights, and we had huge laughter. We used to have a gold minibus that John used to drive us around in, and we'd be forever singing. A Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen was a very popular song. Singing, laughing, talking, maybe a little bit of line learning as well. And then we'd get to set, and we would then all get to live out our fantasies by being in front of a camera, catching smugglers, catching baddies, having an absolutely fantastic 2 years of my life. It really, I'm not one of these people that say, oh, it traumatized me. I don't want to. I loved it. It was an absolutely fantastic 2 years.
It must have felt that you were living the Famous Five 24 hours a day, because I guess you were having mini adventures even when you weren't filming adventures.
We were, yes. Yeah. And, when you're 13 years old and someone builds a whole cave system in the cellars of a big house, and they make them all so realistic, they're all made of plastic, but it feels like you're walking in caves. When someone says you've got to now climb down this well, and you climb down, and there's literally you just climb out the bottom. All of these things are just amazing adventures. And how many kids at 13 can say they've patted the nose of an elephant or the trunk of an elephant? How many people can say? And I would say to you to this day, I don't think I've ever held a monkey, but there's a picture of me holding Tinker's monkey in the archive. So all these fabulous, amazing things, riding on steam trains. And the one peculiar thing that I remember, I think it was, no, it wasn't Five on a Hike. Might be Five Go Down to the Sea. The one where we stayed in gypsy caravans, or yeah, gypsy caravans as they were called then. Do you remember what that one was?
Wasn't that Five Go Off in a Caravan?
Oh, that would make a lot of sense. Yeah,
Do
thank you.
you want, because
So,
that's the one with Brian Glover and the circus, filmed down at Gatewood.
we had to arrive by bus. And because, of course, we had to do it four or five times, for me at 13 years old, reversing in a bus right back up a hill to the start point was so exciting, and was one of these things that stuck with me. So I don't know how many people have ever been on a bus as it reversed, but this to me was like, wow. These little things used to please me, Andrew.
Tell me about the
Still do
horse
quite.
riding, because that was a massive part of the audition, but actually didn't feature that much in the programme.
And probably, if we're honest, didn't feature much in our background. One of the things that we were certainly told as actors is, if they ask you if you can do something, just say yes. So I had it drilled into me. Can you swim? Yes. Can you ride a bike? Yes. Can you ride a horse? Yes. And the fact that I'd only sat on a horse once, and that was pony trekking in the Welsh mountains before then. Same is true of Gary, same is true of Jennifer. I don't know about Michelle, but it was yes, of course I can ride. And by the time we got to congratulations, you got the part, it was straight on the phone to my local riding stables. Can I please have some emergency lessons? I've got to learn how to ride a horse. But you're right, we didn't actually do that much horse riding when we finally got out there.
When I think about the end credits to the programme, every week it said produced in the New Forest and thanks to Exbury. As a child, Exbury to me became almost a mythical place. I had absolutely no idea where it was. But having grown up and visited it, it's become a very firm favourite place to visit. This day and age, with the internet, there's a real coming together of Famous Five fans. And I know there are weekends where they'll go and visit locations. How do you feel about that? Does that feel really gratifying to you?
I feel so honoured that I was part of that thing that is still remembered to this day, almost 50 years on, and we are still talking about the Famous Five, and that people do make the effort to visit and then publish fantastic photographs of these places. And So many of them have got far better recollection of all the places we went to. Gary's got a much better recollection of things than I have, but I just sort of went with the flow, I was in the moment of these things. So it's great to see that people have been visiting and looking out the sets and highlighting them and mapping where they are. And indeed, I think there's a visit planned in June to have a little walk around and look at some of these locations. So I'll probably go and tag myself onto that and have a walk around with you.
Well, Marcus, let's park the famous five, if we may, just for the moment, and look at the rest of your career, because it hasn't all been famous five. You've done a lot in your hometown, and you've also, I know, because I've seen you in Midsomer Murders.
Midsomer Murders, and I was very lucky to be asked to, I guess it was a cameo role, but a small role in the very first German feature film, the film Freund. So I got to play an innkeeper that had the inn burnt down. And I don't know whether the Famous Five from their series actually did the burning. I sincerely hope they didn't, but I had to say, Der Feuerwehr ist schon unterwegs, which I thought was brilliant German, but I think they cut that bit and had me dubbed. But so I appeared in that and various other short films, adverts, films for the circuit. Nothing anywhere like the Famous Five as yet, but my agent is still knocking on doors and I'm waiting for the offer from the Coronation Street or EastEnders. Or even Hollywood. They'll all come knocking soon, I'm sure. But yeah, so that was that. I'm still very much a jobbing actor. I'm still I still love acting. Every time I'm asked to film an audition, because they're all done by filming first. You film a small bit and it goes off, and if they like you, they ask to see you. So I thoroughly enjoy that. Each time I act out a little scene, I'm back there and I'm doing it. So still doing that. I've also, as you know, been mayor of my hometown, and I'm still very involved with the town council. What else do I do apart from the writing, of course? Presenting. There's a very big show called Bunkfest each year, and I'm one of the four main stage presenters standing up in front of tens of thousands of people coming to listen to blues and retro music and other bits and pieces. So, yeah, still keeping busy, still loving it, as well as running my business and keeping the lights on and keeping the wheels turning, as they say.
Let's talk writing, because you have been on the programme before when Running Away was published, and that featured a character that suffered a stroke, which was something that you had actually experience of at the point that you were writing. This next book, Dead Funny, it's another opportunity for you to delve into things that you do have experience of, isn't it?
Yeah, one of my characters in Dead Funny does experience similar sort of things. I tend to use things that happen in my life within these books. But Dead Funny, and Andrew, as you know, this is the first time I've spoken publicly about the new book. So this is a scoop, mate. This is it. But Dead Funny was it started because I dreamt a joke. And I thought, well, that's an interesting joke. And I started to write about a comic who was he was a town planner. He wasn't very funny, but he desperately wanted to be a comic. And he gets up on stage and he starts to deliver his lines. And then from the audience, a junior doctor as was, leaves his girlfriend, stands up, picks up a steak knife, walks to the stage and stabs the comedian to death. And that's the first opening chapter of the book proper. But in the prologue, we see that the guy who's the town planner, the comic who gets stabbed, is one of a group of five friends who were in a bad car accident when they were 18, 19. And that car accident had killed three people. Now, one of them has been killed, and then chapter two shows the second occupant of the car being rammed off the road by a sort of zoned out driver of a transit van who pushes and pushes until he managed to push her through Henley Bridge and follows with the van, and they both sink to the bottom and they both die. So the police are then looking at this, saying these two murders have got huge overlap. They've both got the same blank-eyed stare, the same zombie-like expression, very, very similar MOs, but totally unconnected people. There's nothing that linked the two murderers to these two crimes. Then, when they find a third murder's been committed in the Scottish Highlands, and a fourth attempt, all bearing the same hallmark, they begin to realize there is a connection, and whether that it is an earthly connection, whether it's something that you can see, touch, and feel. Were they all members of the same golf club and met up once, and that was the sort of the start of it, or not? And the only thing they could start to come to the conclusion is that these killers were being operated, if you like. They were being taken over and caused to commit the murder outside of their character. And our two police officers, who we also met first of all in running away, they're back, and they're now faced with not exactly trying to investigate the crimes because they've got the killers, but trying to stop the remaining two people in that group being killed by whatever's going on. So they've got to embrace a bit of disbelief, and they've got to accept that there are some forces working here that they don't get, but if they don't do something, people are going to die in the real world. So that's the premise of the book.
Well, that certainly whetted our appetite, Marcus. And thank you so much for launching the idea of the book actually on this programme. It's very, very much appreciated. Dead Funny will be published later on in the year. Marcus, let me know when it's available and I'll let all our listeners know. What are you working on at the moment? Is there another book wending its way in your brain, or have you got more acting or more shows coming up?
I have some more acting coming up that I can't really talk about at the moment, but there is a little something that we're working on at the moment. As regards writing, I can reveal that I have started the third book. And the third book starts by a man stood like the statue of Christ the Redeemer on top of the Bellagio in Las Vegas, and his plan is to jump. And that's literally the opening chapter. As we move back from that, we start to get an understanding of how his life has been and what's driven him to the point of being there. So then we're following his life. How does he actually get to Vegas? What's going on in his life? And he meets a very interesting character who we will meet later on in the book again, who basically says, "Why are you doing this? Why are you wasting your life? Why not go and do something you really want to do first?" So he's basically then selling all of his possessions, selling his house, clearing out his bank account, and he's going off to Las Vegas. And then we're going to follow his story of what happens to him in Las Vegas before we end up on the roof of the Bellagio. And then we'll see where we go from there. That's my third book. That won't be out for a while yet.
Well, Marcus, it certainly sounds you've got some very good ideas for future stories, and I'm sure they'll keep coming even after number three. Marcus Harris, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us on the programme today. We wish you the very best with Dead Funny. Let me know when it's published, and we'll let everybody else know. In the meantime, though, I look forward to catching up with you on that famous 5 day in June.
I look forward to catching up with you as well, and thank you so much for this. And look forward to seeing you and speaking to you and your listeners again at some point.
Marcus Harris, thank you so much.
Thanks very much, Andrew.